970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians, they know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do, going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, B. Bandele has passed on. He was a celebrated writer and director. He directed the movie adaptation of Half of a Yellow Sun. More recently, he directed the series Blood Sisters. His last work, which is about to come out, is Election Oba, The King's Horseman. It's an adaptation of Death and the King's Horseman, that book that was written by Wole Soyinka, the play that was written by Wole Soyinka. So it's such a huge loss to Nollywood and the writer community. May he rest in peace, even as he lives on in his work and in everybody that he inspires. Second hard fact of the day, Joshua Darie and Jolly Nyame are now free men. The two former governors were jailed for corruption, but President Buhari pardoned both of them back in April. You remember when we talked about it. And now they've finally been released from Kuje Custodial Center. Right now on our live stream, I'm showing you pictures from the moment they came out of prison. You can take a look at those pictures for yourself. 0700-993-993-993. That's the studio number. I don't need you to call me. I'm just, you know, calling that number out so that you have it, you know, ready. But our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3 and YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. And if you're watching the live stream, you can see officers of the correction service taking selfies with these men. And I want to know what you think about that. I'm really curious to know what you think about that. What I mean by that is, if you're looking at the pictures on our live stream right now, Nigeria Info 99.3, that's for Facebook, YouTube Nigeria Info FM, you see that the guards seem very relaxed with them. Maybe even a bit starstruck or subservient. Look at the picture. I'm looking at it right now. And I really want to know what you think about that. What do you think about the message that picture sends? Do you think that's the message that corrections officers should be sending? Or maybe they were just, you know, really well behaved when they were in prison, and so the corrections officers are saying, hey, you know, good job. We corrected their behavior. I don't know. But let me know when you give us a call eventually. If you're tuning in for the first time, hello. You're listening alongside 1 million Lagosians. They cannot be wrong. Thank you for tuning in. I've got a great show for you. Let's start with the big three. Let's talk about Governor Sanwo-Olu's comments on security in Lagos. Then let's talk about the state of security nationwide. The Owa massacre suspects are in custody. Opposition senators still want to impeach the president. And we're losing 400,000 barrels of crude oil a day to oil theft. And then, also on the big three, let's talk about a civil servant getting punished for being a whistleblower. At 4 o'clock today, it's the second playoff match of I Beg to Differ. Remember, I Beg to Differ, the round of 16 starts on Monday. But from 4 p.m. today, we will find out who is going to take the 16th spot and return on Monday for their own match. So don't miss it. Tell someone to tell someone else. I Beg to Differ is back. And we are deciding together right here on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info who the 16th seed is. On the big hard fact, it's the road to 2023. Sanwo-Olu says he has earned a second term. Do you agree? We'll talk about that at 5 o'clock. Labour Party's Lagos Guba primary is holding. That's one of the stories we'll look at 5 p.m. Wike invited Sanwo-Olu to commission another flyover. There's a lot happening in the Wike, Port Harcourt, Atiku PDP atmosphere. We'll have that conversation from 5 p.m., 5 o'clock. That's when that particular conversation will happen. After the news at 6 on the step down, let's talk about parents of children who want to go into sports or who want to go into entertainment. Toby Amushan told the story of how her father burned all her running gear because he wanted her to forget athletics and focus on school. So from 6:15, let's talk about how both sides feel in situations like that. Is there a healthier way for parents to handle it when their children want to go into sports or entertainment? 6:15, we'll have that conversation. As usual, we'll have news updates for you at the top of every hour. But let's get started with the big three. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. These are your hard facts.
This is the big three.
The big three
on hard facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Do you approve of how the Lagos State Government is handling security? Do you approve of how the Lagos State Government is handling security? Has the security situation improved or worsened since Buhari gave marching orders to service chiefs? And does the Federal Civil Service protect whistleblowers enough? Does the Federal Civil Service protect whistleblowers enough? Those are the big three. Lagos, let's talk. Our first story is about the security situation in Lagos. Over the weekend, Governor Sanwo-Olu gave a TV interview. We started talking about it yesterday on the big weekend, but we didn't cover everything he said. We focused mostly on what he said about transportation and the Apapaport traffic and traffic in general. But he also said a lot about security. And that's what I want us to talk about right now.
You know, security is also seen as the bedrock of any good governance, because what we preach is that we want to ensure that we save the life of our people, properties and life, you know. And these are some of the things that we campaign on. And if you look at my team's agenda, the last word here, you know, which is S, is security and good governance. So it's not something that is just waking up to. It was something that we thought of, it was something that we dreamt, and we knew we wanted to deal with it. But to answer the question is to look at the security architecture in Lagos. You know, I was opportunity to be the first interim chairman of the Security Trust Fund, and I was part of the board for 4 years, you know, when we set up that in 2008. So what you see in Lagos, outside of the regular Lagos State Police Command, you know, it's that our government have been able to strengthen, you know, the rapid response squad. In fact, we have about 2,500 men that are in rapid response squad. We also have about 600 men in the task force, apart from the fact that we have access to 2-3, you know, MOPO formation in Lagos. Lagos also has about 15 area commanders and about 110, you know, divisional police officers. So what it means is that, you know, in that small space of 3,650 square kilometers, you have this whole entire, you know, gamut of security architecture. So what happens is we have three layers of interventions in Lagos. The regular police in the event of a day-to-day issues that everybody wants to, relate to. But when you have tactical interventions, the men of the RRS are usually the one that you see, you know, coming out first. And when it has to do with a direct intervention from the governor's office, then you can also see, you know, the men of the task force. So in the last 3 years or 3.5 years, we've also been supporting all the security architecture in the state, not only the police, you know, and we've given them over 260 vehicles, you know, in the last two and a half, 3 years. We've also extended similar things to other security architecture, you know, the Nigerian Army, the Nigerian Navy, the Nigerian Air Force, under, you know, a program called OPMensa, under a global called OPMensa. Right, so with all of that, right, they continue to speak to each other. The Parliament of State Security will continue to also support them on equipment because we know security is not cheap. So it's not something that we are starting today. It was something that we started right from day one, ensuring that what we need to do, we are not waiting for anybody, what we need to do in Lagos to make sure that they are motivated, they have equipment to work with, they have logistic support, and they have the world with that. They have access to me. So that's what has helped us, you know, pretty much to be able to, you know, speak to the issues and be able to deal with them when they do occur, you know, in terms of the architecture of it. Like I said, there are three layers. But what we have also now done now is we're coming out of the regular police formation to also extend the same security architecture to other security agencies in Lagos, NDLEA, you know, Civil Defense Corps, correctional facilities, Nigerian Immigration Service, and of course, the neighborhood watch that we also have. So it is the entire tripod, you know, that is now activated. See something, say something, that is now activated as various security officials to know that everybody has, you know, a box to tick. Everybody has a responsibility to ensure that whatever you need or you notice or you observe in your own sphere of engagement, escalate it, have access to the people that can come and rescue the situation. So those are some of the things we agreed to 2 days ago to say that we need to collaborate a lot more. We need to share information. It's not one person reciting all the information. Share information. If you observe something, escalate it. And we're also taking it to the citizens. You know, our CDCs, our CDEs are people that have been working with us. You know, they have over 1,100 of them in various associations. And these are people that we take intelligence from. The intels we take from them, the Lagos State Neighborhood Watch are the ones that process it in a way and manner that we can send it to the Nigerian police. That architecture is working for. I will not go into details to say specific. This is where a camera is and all sorts. But we're working with the Department of State Security, who have the primary role for intelligence. You know, they are the ones that comb nooks and crannies. I get telephone text messages almost on a daily basis that I share with them. In this area, we notice some movements in the bush. In this area, we notice some scrupulous people in an abandoned building. In this area, we think the movement here doesn't speak to what we know in this neighborhood. And so Neighborhood Watch also pick all of it. Like I said, intelligence is from the grassroots, from the Neighborhood Watch, from the CDC, CDA, to the Neighborhood Watch, now to the security formation and Battle of State Security, who goes around the city, right? That is still being physical. But like you said, technology, you are aware that we're deploying, you know, our smart city, you know, intervention in the state. We're about, you know, the one that is doing it aggressively, right? And to date, we're installing close to 2,000 CCTV cameras all around the city, right? We're turning some of them, you know, into traffic management. We're using some of them for traffic control. But when there's a need, you also can review, you know, security. We're just building a new data center for this kind of implementation. But I cannot begin to give the full detail, you know, I mean, because it's also security. And we're going to be making this available, right, to Department of State Security, you know, so that they also can review some of these things and can have access to it. So it's a walk in the park, and it's something that the citizens need to be reassured.
That's the governor speaking there. He talked about empowering communities to gather intelligence and then sharing that intel with federal security agencies like the SSS. He also talked about installing more CCTV cameras across the state and an upgraded data center for collecting and processing all of that footage. And of course, he talked about the new digital state identity card and identity management system as a fundamental part of letting the government know who and who are in the state. And then he talked about the Okada ban. We mentioned that briefly yesterday. He talked about it improving the security situations, right? And reducing the frequency of armed robbery. And so I'm asking you if you agree. What do you think about the approach to security that the governor has described here? Do you think it addresses all the necessary problems? What else do you think the state should be doing? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We're streaming live on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. Hello, thank you very much for calling us. Hello? Hello? Is anyone there? All right. 99.3, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, President Sandra.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
This is Chris, your senior special advisor.
Welcome, Chris.
Well, I want to thank the governor. He said a lot. He's done a lot, but he needs to do more. Sandra, you know the civic center coming from civic center? You know the new Blaine Bridge by that law school?
Okay.
There's a police hillock there.
Okay.
Go and check the state of that car, that hillock. That is not what they will use. In case if there's an emergency, so the governor should work on that.
Okay.
When you see something, say something. That hillock, I never find it funny. Whenever I see it, I find it funny, I mean. So they should do something about that truck there. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Chris. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
This is Manuel from Naija.
Welcome, Emmanuel.
Thank you very much. You see, I just want to react to that Junior Yame and Joshua David.
Okay.
You know, I went to Kuje prison the other time. They are not even prison. They are not even in prison. They are just free. Like they are just enjoying themselves. So Buhari is not fighting any corruption. I don't know why Buhari says that he's fighting corruption. You convict people and you see at the end of the day, you say presidential pardon. Pardon for what? I went to Kuje prison the other time. Every Saturday they are visiting their family visit and all of that. I went to Kuje with my friend the other time. I saw them were reading their newspaper and joining their life. So and they said, I'm in prison. It's better to release themselves. No, but it's unfortunate. APC government, this is the last this thing for them in this country. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, but in prison, you're not spending all your time doing hard labor, especially if your sentence doesn't come with hard labor. And even if it does come with hard labor, you have down times when you can relax and read a book and read a newspaper and things like that. So I don't think they've done anything wrong. You know, if anything, that's an indication that the correctional service is working the way it's supposed to work, you know. Because you don't expect to see prisoners like gnashing their teeth when you see them and they're beating them in prison. That's not how it works typically. We've got Paul in Ebeda on the line. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Sandra, under the policy of see something and say something, I would submit that the greatest security challenge or challenges we have in Lagos right now is the faceless Okada people, Okada men, that we cannot identify where they are coming from and where they are going to. That is the greatest security challenge we have in Lagos now. And secondly, these agros that collect money at every two poles, they are also a security challenge in Lagos because they are ready to beat you up, they are ready to molest you, just like the Okadas. So I wish the governor of Lagos State, as he wants to make sure that this policy of see something and say something will work, he should hear Lagosians out. We are saying he should do something about the Okada people and then these agbaros that collect levies on the road. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul, for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, this is Gbenga on the line.
Welcome, Gbenga.
Good to see. Yeah. All what the governor said, I can say that there is no truth in that.
Okay.
Because just yesterday on the Co Bridge, there was a report that people were robbed.
Okay.
And nearly on a daily basis, that has always been. In the last 2 weeks, around the Oyinbo side, I can tell you for free that there was a serious fight, attack by the hoodlums. Early in the morning, they attacked a lot of people there, you know, collected their wares, and even injured a lot of people. And there was even killing. Did they want to tell us that there was no government in Lagos State, or did they want to tell us that governor did not heard about it, about that? within the during this last 2 weeks around K today, there was killing, fighting in between the courses. Did they want to, the governor wants to tell me that there was no, he doesn't care anything about that upon all the neighborhoods was what or the police. And besides, even that that of Butemeta, what happened there this last week? So many police were deployed. They were just looking. They were just looking at those guys killing people, many people. So I can say that there is no security in Lagos.
All right, thank you very much for calling, Benga. We've got Mike on WhatsApp who says, for insecurity, President Buhari has done tremendously well. I commend the president. And for Lagos State Governor, I'm in support of the identity card. But for President Buhari, well, nobody's asking for a third term. Even the president doesn't want a third term. We've got a message here from Blessing who says, Sandra, reading newspapers in correction center is not new. Here in Malaysia, we used to buy all kinds of magazines and books for some Nigerians inside the prison. And they also play football and all sorts of games. Blessing, thank you very much for sending your message in. Now, of course, some people could ask whether all prisoners get that downtime that that caller was alleging, or if these guys were getting preferential treatment, you know, because we have had guests on Nigeria Info several times talking about the conditions of our prisons. We'll take a break. When we come back from this break, let's move on to our second story. Our second story is an update on Nigeria's security situation. We're going to go all around the country and see what's going on. We've got some good news as well. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
Gather around, kids. You can't miss this news. The best of Nickelodeon is coming to you on Wazobia Max.
Wazobia Max TV on UHF 57 and DSTV channel 259.
The debaters are ready.
My name is Ajike Deborah.
My name is Anna
Rabo. My name is Brian McClemens.
My name is Ola Princess.
The panel of judges are ready.
The judges have decided.
The prize money is ready. 1 million naira.
There's only one question left, Lagos.
Edition of the I Beg to Differ debate tournament.
In Larry's research, Nigeria has set out an increasing number of skilled workers.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. Join me from August 8th as the best student debaters go head to head.
There are different safety measures that Okada riders do flaunt.
Weekdays at 4 on 99.3 Nigeria Info FM. This tournament is supported by Webster University, RLG Communications, Obiwizi.com, Booker Hot, and Storm Body Spray.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to The Big Three on Hard Facts. And our second story, like I mentioned before the break, is an update on the security situation. Good news, some suspects in the Owo Church massacre have been captured. General Leo Irabo, the Chief of Defense Staff, said they were captured in a joint operation by the military, the police, and the SSS. Ondo Governor Rotimi Akeredolu has also confirmed the arrest. I was happy to hear this story. And I was happy to hear that it was a joint operation. Remember last week we talked about the police setting up a committee to figure out how all the different agencies can share intel better and coordinate their efforts. And in our first story, you heard Governor Sanwo-Olu say that one major problem is that all our agencies are collecting their data in silos, and the protocols for sharing and cooperation are not great. So whenever I hear that multiple agencies work together on an op, I say, great, more of this. And so now the question is, how do we ensure that we get more of this? Now, the news is not so great on the oil and gas front. Junior Petroleum Minister Timi Presilva says that Nigeria loses 400,000 barrels a day to oil theft. 400,000 barrels. Bear in mind that our total output is around 1.8 million barrels. So more than 20% is getting stolen. That's also a security problem. It may not be costing lives directly, but it's costing government money. And so it's costing lives indirectly. Those 400,000 stolen barrels represent hospitals that never get built, immunizations that never get to a child, soldiers and police officers that never get hired and trained, armored vehicles that never get to the battlefront. The question is, how do we tackle oil theft? Delta State Governor Ifeanyi Okorwa says that the federal government should review all the pipeline surveillance contracts. Do you agree that this will help? Those of you in the oil and gas sector, I'd love to hear from you today. Or do you think that the entire system is the problem? Well, opposition senators believe that the problem starts at the top. They say that they still want to impeach President Buhari over his response to insecurity. Remember that just before going on recess, they gave him a 6-week ultimatum to fix up. That deadline has not arrived, but some of them are already saying that they are not impressed. For example, we heard from Eyinaya Baribe of ABGA. He said that his colleagues in the PDP, ABGA and Labour are all ready to face the president when the ultimatum lapses. That's our security update. You can comment on any part of the security stories that I've brought to you. Any part you like, you can comment on it. You can comment on all of them if you want. So how can cooperation between agencies be improved? How can oil theft be stopped? What do you think of the fix-up or be impeached ultimatum from opposition senators? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Share your thoughts with me on WhatsApp 080-959-75805. Give us a call on 0700-993-993-993 or call 01465-7190. That number is for women and women only. Hello, good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Hey. Sandra Ezekwesili.
Kevin, good to have you on the show.
I greet you.
I greet you too.
I still insist on what I've been seeing on this platform, that impeachment threat is an exercise in futility.
Okay.
Whether anybody likes to hear it or not. Number one, they don't have the numbers. Even though they have the numbers, they still have to pass a notice to the president within 7 days. They will still have to tell the Chief Justice of the Federation to set up a panel. And that panel will take 3 months to do its findings. After it takes 3 months, they still have to bring it back to the Senate. And the House of Reps must all agree in unison to review the panel and still have to make another report within that report that was submitted by the panel. In fact, before they do all this process, we're in December. Before you know it, January. Before you know it, election, February. They should stop wasting our time. They should go and do the needful and stop wasting time. Nigerians don't have time for this mess. You understand? Nigerians don't have time. But I'm happy that the culprits in that massacre in Owo have been arrested. That is good news for us. The blood of those innocent people they were killed will not go in vain. Having said that, on the continuation of what we spoke about yesterday in regard to security in Lagos, I still want to say that you asked the question, what more can be done? Number one, under the bridges must be threat. It's a security threat. Let the bridges under the bridges be free. Number two, abandoned vehicles must not be allowed to be seen anywhere across the state. In my area here, there are lots of abandoned vehicles. These are security threats. Anything can be planted in those vehicles. And abandoned buildings must be checkmated because most of these people are always there. So if those are done, and again, there are some areas that are no lights. Somebody did this light up Lagos issue that we enjoyed. I don't know what has happened to it now. Let Lagos be lighted. Let us see if there's light, at least people can see things, you know, clearly. So Lagos State Governor should do more on these things. And with that, I believe we can move ahead.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much for calling. We've got Grandma Princess who says, the governor has spoken well, words to allay the fears of Lagos State people. In addition, he should monitor closely those trucks that bring cattle and numerous people with their motorcycles that enter Lagos almost on a daily basis. Government should also start a rabid combing of any forests in and around Lagos State, because these are guerrilla fighters and so they live and operate inside the bush. Better late than never. Grandma Princess, thank you very much for your message. Prince from Aja says, the release of Dare and Nyame is evidence of corruption in Buhari's administration. We've got a message from Olumaiti who says, the selfie at the correctional center only implies that the warders enjoyed the company of Joshua Dorie and co. and they are going to miss them. Good news on the Owo massacre. Nice one. But I thought Aregbesola said it was linked to ISWAP. Who is fooling who? Olumaiti with that message there. Olumaiti, thank you very much for your message. We've got someone here who says, I'm a marathoner. For the past 1 year now, I couldn't run early hours on Third Mainland Bridge and other Lagos roads because no police presence, no lighting. Lagos is not the echo I grew up to know any longer. God bless Nigeria. Solomon from Yaba. Solomon, I need to connect things on your body so that when you're running, you'll be burning my own calories. That's what I was thinking about during the Commonwealth Games. Like, tech bros need to invent something, you know, so that when we're watching these sports where they're running around, we can, like, plug something to the TV, you know, and when they're running, you that doesn't exercise a lot or you want to exercise and lose weight or burn calories, they'll be burning the calories for you, you know? That needs to happen. Tech bros and tech sisters, get up. Stop wasting our time and our money. Buy, fix it. Build it. We'll buy it. We've got a... We've got a Demi who says, please ask the governor what's the difference between Lazra ID card and the newly introduced state ID cards. They are one and the same thing. Just, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, I believe, or last week. Just go and verify it. Go and validate it and, you know, pick up the digital one. That's it. You can do it on their website. We've got Chris from Ghana who says, let me react to your morality question as regards wardings. Our society is morally flawed and going down each passing day. Where do people born after 1980 get to learn and know of morals? Government? No. Religious bodies? Worse. Where or which sector of our society are our moral metrics? On the Owo arrest, please, the suspects should be paraded before the attendees at the church that Sunday to identify them. I don't believe our security operatives. The incident of Alfred Owen murders and their parade is still evergreen in my memory. That's Chris listening from Ghana. We've got Robert in Apapa on the line. Hi, Robert.
Good afternoon, Madam Sandra.
Good afternoon, sir.
Let me call you the way Mr. Chris always calls him. You need to lick me and Chris. Oh, he's a man I love so much, honestly.
All right. Well,
yes. Let me talk about security.
Mm.
The Lagos State government is doing a lot, but they need to do more. Sandra, do you know that smoking igbo, in their hem now, in every nook and cranny, Lagos is almost becoming a normal thing. And you know when somebody is high, you take drug, there's a tendency for you to rob, to commit crime.
Mm.
So the police need to clamp down on those that are involving themselves in this illegal. Those days, when Buba Marwa was the Lagos State governor, I think in the 90s, yeah, something like, I was in Lagos, yeah, there used to be Operation Sweep. It is very hard for you to see three people sitting down or maybe walking. They will stop and ask you questions. You must identify yourself. If we can go back to short, I think it will help to reduce crime.
All right.
And secondly, let me talk about on those states. Mm-hmm. So you check something like that, right?
Yes, the award. That they
my problem is not apprehension.
Okay.
It's not apprehension.
Okay.
When you catch people that commit crime, when it involve life, killing, later you charge them to court, the court will now jail them. Later we'll be hearing that they have been released. You want to put them back into the society, or you want to, I mean, it's disheartening. A terrorist, somebody that killed. I mean, it's not either life prison mentor. It's supposed to be also killed, not you later release them. This is the problem. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Robert, for giving us a call. We'll take one more call and then I'll bring you our final story. This final story here, I really want to hear your thoughts on it. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Good evening. Hello. Hello. All right. Doesn't look like there's anyone there. Okay. That's my cue to bring you our final story. A whistleblower who exposed an employment scam in the federal government may face disciplinary action. Yes, the whistleblower. That's our third story. I told you I really wanted to hear what you thought about this third one. Richard Ogenegoro works in the Federal Ministry of Works and Housing. Back in July 2020, he filed a petition with his ministry. In the petition, he claimed that some of his colleagues had gotten their jobs with fake employment letters and that they were not legally supported to be ministry staff. That was 2 years ago. But it seems like he got tired of waiting for due process, so he made the petition public. And apparently, because of the uproar, the ministry swung into action. They set up a panel to probe the allegations. Now the panel has spoken. They've identified the fake workers. They've directed the ministry to terminate them. The panel also identified four senior staff who failed to screen the workers properly, because if they had done their job, nobody with a fake letter should have gotten a job. So the panel said that these four senior staff should be reassigned. And they include a principal executive officer, a senior executive officer, and two senior admin officers. But the panel also had smoke for the whistleblower. The panel found him guilty of, quote, misconduct, breach of oath of secrecy, unauthorized disclosure of official information, and copying of official documents contrary to the provisions of the public service rules, end quote. Basically, the panel says that he should be punished for going public. But there's a debate here. On the one hand, they're saying that he broke public service rules. Those rules have guidelines for when and how an employee can copy or publish government information. And they're saying that this whistleblower broke those rules. But on the other hand, if he had not broken those rules, if he had followed the official process, would the ministry have investigated the crime he reported? His supporters say no. They say the ministry was frustrating him, trying to keep the whole thing silent until he went public. And that leads me to a question about whistleblowing. Lagos, are you with me? We always hear, see something, say something, when we talk about corruption in the civil service. When we talk about anything in Nigeria, see something, say something. But when you focus on corruption in the civil service, we often criticize those civil servants who see it happening and don't say anything. Does this case show that there is a cost for speaking up? Does our system do a good enough job protecting those who want to do the right thing and speak up? This should be an I beg to differ debate topic. By the way, the staff with the fake employment letters were all enrolled on IPPIS after they were employed. It's a classic example of garbage in, garbage out. IPPIS works on the assumption that before somebody's record is added as a civil servant for the first time, senior officers have vetted them. So clearly, this failed to happen here. What do you think about this case? 0700-993-993-993. Men, call me on that number. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Who do you agree with? Those who say that this whistleblower from the Ministry of Works and Housing broke the rules. There's a reason the rules are there. They are guidelines so that people don't misbehave. Or do you agree with those who say if he had not broken the rules, if he had followed the official process, would the ministry have investigated the crime he reported? No. They kept frustrating him. They kept trying to keep the whole thing silent until he went public. So whose side of the debate do you agree with? And then my other question. We often say, see something, say something. Does our system do a good enough job protecting those who want to do the right thing, who want to speak up? Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello. Good evening. Sorry. Call us back. Hello. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name?
Yeah, I'm Ahigbe.
Ahigbe, welcome.
Yeah, let me just speak a little over the diary issue and the security guard, or what they call it, the prison guy.
Okay.
You know, they said by their fruit, you shall know them.
Okay.
Buhari will release all those criminals, but God has not released them because the ministry belongs to God. The government is established by God. And then if he does not use his office to please God, and then he please Satan, and God will tell him that he owes Satan, and he punished Satan and his holy angel. And men and women that took all the rules of Satan, he has right over them to dismiss them, to destroy them, and to bring them down. So he has opened a new case between him and the Almighty God. And it must be justified, whether he likes it or not.
Okay.
People that are stealing a lot of money and deprive the poor people from their rights. You are supporting them to release them from prison. What happened to the Boko Haram? According to the other man that used to go to Bush and talk to them, what they call him?
Gumi.
He said that those people, the reason they gave for their being Boko Haram is that their rights was denied of them. That the local government development, the water, the electricity in the local government, none they enjoy, none they see, except the cost of the city.
Mrs. Aigbe? Oh, please give us a call back. Alexo is on the line. Hi, Alexo.
Hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Yeah, my take is on the security.
Okay.
Yeah, I will give the governor a little benefit of doubt. But where I think I have issue with them is one, because most clients are perpetrated during dark hours.
Okay.
What about the implementation of light of Lagos? Will we say it is 100% working? Because at night, I believe some parts of Lagos are not well lit up. This is especially like those red hot spots. You should the express road. Just name it. I don't know if those lights are really functioning, because this is to enhance the security agent to be able to identify some kind of illegal movement. Because the inflow of all these criminals at night is really worrisome. I don't know what they are doing about this. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
One. And also, all these slums. Because we have a place close to me which we call Ebola. And you know all this, I wouldn't just want to tag some tribes. They dump all sorts of metallic objects. And they underneath, because I attend community meetings sometimes, and they discuss about things like this. Because they hide weapons in between those objects. And what are the security men doing about this? To checkmate this kind of activities, to make sure the community, the environment is safe. The citizens are trying, but also the government and the security agents need to up their game. That is very, very important. Thank you.
All right, Alexo, thank you so much for calling. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hello, Sandra.
How are you, sir? What's your name?
I'm very okay, my dear. Mm. My name is Menswayes, calling you from Amuwadofin.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Oh, this is who cut off again. Dive into yesterday, please. Just bam.
Oh, sorry.
Number one. Mm-hmm. Are you still at work, Sandra?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still at work?
Is who at work? EFCC, right?
Yes. Are they still at work?
Yes, now.
You mean it? I don't think so. Mr. President is telling them not to work anymore now. Indirectly. He's telling ICPC not to work anymore.
No.
Why do they waste their time, waste the money to prosecute? And we have a very courageous judge that gives judgment against those who steal the state commonwealth. Who steal people's money? Your salary is being paid, your allowance is being paid as a government. If you leave office, you take your allowance till you die. And you still put your pocket, your hand into people's money. And that judge gives judgment that they stay just only 10 years behind the bar. And Mr. President give feet and release them. If somebody tell me they're fighting corruption is no more, nobody is fighting corruption anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's very painful. We have been advocating for the past more than 20 years for special cause to trap those who stole our commonwealth. So now we sentence somebody and Mr. Mayor say it is those go free. Why? Why are we this is our the problem we are facing today, it is corruption that kept us where we are today. Whether we like it or not, everything is not moving accordingly because people are stealing money. Oh, my God.
Prince YS, thank you very much for calling. Sorry, you've been talking for 2 minutes. That's a good place to end the conversation. We've got Dave in Ikoyi on the line. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Sandra. This is DeVoe speaking.
Oh, DeVoe, welcome.
Yes. You mentioned something about the crude oil theft, right?
Yes, 400,000 barrels per day.
Yes. I think the Minister of Petroleum is being economic with the truth.
Okay.
Because the Nigerian upstream, downstream regulatory agency mentioned that we're now producing at 1.1 million barrels.
Yeah.
That's 700 million barrels down from 1.8. And I was even shocked that they would release that result. That's almost between 40 to 50% of our crude being stolen. And the question we should really be asking and discussing is, you know, most times when they talk about crude oil theft, many of us imagine the bunkering, the pipeline vandalization. That is the petty theft. The real deal, what is bringing it down to this 1.1 million barrels per day is our crude oil tankers being diverted midstream. Instead of going to the official places where Nigeria would earn dollars, it's being sold to people and the federal government does not earn. And this is in the presence of the military, the Navy, the Air Force, the EFCC, the police. That an oil tanker is not a car. It's the size of a football field. So, Sandra, tell me, who is not telling the truth here? Are you saying that they're ghosts that move those tankers and it's sold? Come on. How long are we going to fool ourselves in this country? At what point are we going to hold this government accountable?
Davo, thank you very much for calling. We'll take a couple of messages from social media and then we'll take a break so that our kids for the playoff debate from 4 o'clock can settle into the live studio. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Chinedu from Nepa Ogun State says, Sandra, is this not madness? This guy should be given a national honor that a Nigerian took the courage and simply did what the government always says. See something, say something. Someone finally saw and said something and he's being punished. We now see that the civil service encourages corruption. Bolaji Onwuma says, on security, Lagos is 3 over 10. Lagos is too big to depend on federal police. In short, any state, Lagos should be the first to clamor for state police. I'll use Oworo as an example. It used to be a dreaded place, but with the community police known as Madanwo Oworo, Oworo is so safe. So it remains small on security. Then help me ask Sanwo-Olu about state Lagos State Water Works. It's not functioning and they keep bringing bills. We depend on that water at Oworo. All right. Bolaji, thank you very much for your message. Well, the Lagos State Government does have the RRS, you know, and the RRS is technically sort of kind of a state police. Here's a message that says, this APC government, no, they try. If those two governors were in China, they would have been shot long ago. What corruption are we fighting when we let go people who stole billions? There's even no mention of whether the money they stole has been recovered. We're not serious. That's money. In Houston. Manny from Houston, thanks for your message. We've got a message here. Abandoning of bridges in Lagos is another form of criminal venture. Most of the bridges have been occupied by hoodlums, and government needs to do something about it. Mike or Prince, you need to make up your mind. What is your name? Is it Mike or is it Prince or is it both? We've got this message here from Dennis, you know, Lodi Apapa, who says, I blame the supporters of President Buhari that allowed themselves to be deceived by this government when they said that if we do not kill corruption, corruption will kill us. I believe their supporters have seen that corruption has finally killed us. All those senators that want to impeach the president are jokers. They are all birds of the same feather. We've got Zoe, who says, regards the lighting up of Lagos to help with insecurity. I remember from 2009 to 2014, we could trek, walk from the Fela Shrine in Agidingbi in Ikeja down to Maryland as early as 4 a.m. on our way back from the Fela Shrine without no cause to fear because there were street lights everywhere and everywhere looked bright like London. But now the lights are no more. Please, we need our street lights back. All right. Thank you very much for you know, joining the conversation on the show today, talking to us about these different stories. We will take a break. When we come back from this break, you'll be hearing our business news, and then you'll listen to two children debate secondary school specialization between arts and science is a net positive. If you went to school in Nigeria, you probably had to choose between being a science student or being an arts student. That choice that we were made to make, was it a good thing or a bad thing? Let's hear these children in JS3 debated. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
It is all talk and more talk on Nigerian's number one talk station.
This country needs a marshal, you know, needs a sheriff.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not